I'm moving
Hello everyone, how's it going? We're having very interesting conversations before this podcast recording started. Joined with Colton and Catherine as usual, and drumroll, Paola. Paola's joined us again. She joined us once a few times ago, and now she is back. So we were going to talk about Paola had a, what was your question, Paola, about people who are scared to talk? Maybe tell us what your question was, and that's we'll start with that topic. We were discussing that.
I think it's more like a situation where you have a student that must know some of the target language because they have been learning it for a certain time. And I had this situation that the student felt that she couldn't speak any, like not even a sentence, like simple sentence. So I tried to watch video, and then she told me that I understand by reading the subtitles, but I don't understand by listening to it. Then we tried with some images to describe them, and she could structure some sentences, but I don't know, around five. And then she kind of like gave up, like, I can't. So, I was just asking for some advice because I think it's kind of like rough to, I don't know, to encourage or to motivate a student, even though they think they don't know anything when I think they do.
What do you guys think, Colton, Catherine?
I must say it's a very relatable problem, and I think that's what I sometimes struggle the most as well. Like I feel the struggle because it's kind of, well, especially when you know that the person most likely is experiencing like more of a confidence problem than a language problem per se. But I think it's all about creating the, it will take time, but like creating the safe space for them to do that, like to talk and everything, and kind of get in tune with their personality and keep reinforcing the things first that I would say that they're comfortable with and they enjoy. Like for example, if a specific activity works, then to repeat it multiple times. And once they kind of feel confident with this comfort zone, then start introducing new stuff like listening to or like watching videos and things like that, or trying to speak more and more. Or probably, I think a good thing would be to force them to talk about their week or their day or whatever the period time at the beginning of the lesson, because it kind of, especially if you do it every single lesson the same way, it kind of starts them off a little bit more confident already. And if they are at first uncomfortable, you can let them know that they can prepare a little cheat sheet. Sometimes it's easier for them to like write down what has been happening during the week. And I don't know, as a student as well, that kind of helped me when I was struggling myself long, long ago. And when the teacher genuinely asked me how my week was every week, that's when I started speaking the most because it's kind of like, oh, they're actually taking interest in my person. And I can feel safe here. I can talk about my week. I can talk about my worries. I can talk about this and that. And you kind of create this connection. And then they are a little bit more confident with the rest of the activities, I guess. I don't know. That's my take.
Would you like say all those things in your target language, or would it be like in your first language?
Yeah, because it has to be a simple phrase. Like for me, it was, I remember because I was maybe like 16, 17, something like that. And it was Spanish for me. And I didn't read this, as in, I knew it fairly well because I was like reading a lot, doing the grammar exercises, whatever. And, but I've never really spoken to people too much. That's why it like petrified me and stuff. However, I didn't know the language. And the teacher, at the beginning of each lesson, it's like, oh, ¿qué tal la semana? And at first I was like, that does she mean it? Like, do I have bien or do I say And she would never like let me with Bienna. She's like, Bienna, understand, like, what happened? What's the tea? Who hurt you? What is exciting? Like, tell to me about it. And I was like, do you really want to know? She's like, yeah, totally. And the key to that was like, you could really see that she genuinely cares about my week, even though, and I don't know, and it kind of helped. Oh, sorry. Oh,
we can't hear you, Paola.
Thank you. Thank you for the advice.
Bolton, anything?
Say the advice that helped me when I was learning Blackfoot and Spanish was just finding somebody that I was comfortable speaking with first, and then just really getting to converse with them. Because I remembered when I first started learning both languages, I first grew a large vocabulary and then tried to understand the grammar well, but I'd never really spoken, so I was really nervous to ever use it. And so I ended up just not using a lot of the words that I had already known. And then just by speaking to people that I was comfortable with, I was able to get that practice and then kind of get to the speaking level. That would be my advice.
Yeah, for me, what would I say? There's a few things I do in that situation myself. So the first thing is I'll give them the option. I'll have them say what they're trying to say in English first. Like, I have them actually say it in English. And then I'll judge if they actually have the ability to say it. Like, let's say they said something, and I go like, oh, yeah, they can't say that. They actually don't have the words or grammar or whatever. And I'll say, oh, okay, cool. And then we'll just keep going the conversation. But if they say it and I'm like, oh, I think they can, I'll say, oh, yeah, I think you could say that. Let's start it off. And I'll give them the first word or the first like couple of words. They'll say, like, so for example, if they're like, oh yeah, it was so scary because I don't know, it's so scary because the cat that I can hear, we have a cat, I have a crazy cat story, but the cat is outside right now and I can hear him meowing, which is what I'm thinking of cats. Yeah, the crazy cat was so scary and he was meowing at the door and then he came and scratched me. And I was so awful. I can be like, oh yeah, I think you have the words for that. So let me start you off. Había un gato. Right? And then it starts them off. And they go, okay. Había un gato. And then next thing you know, half the words come out. And then they're like, oh, I don't know the word for scratch. Like, oh, okay, well then you're like, that's something I've done. I like what Catherine is saying about the conversation in the beginning. About the, like, if it's always the same questions every time. My mom used to do a thing. My mom's a school teacher, and she used to do a thing called the Daily Five. And it was these five things they always did in class at the beginning of class. And I took that concept for language teaching. And for some classes, I'll have a Daily Five or a Daily Four, Eight, Ten, like whatever the number is, right? A Daily X number. And it's like right at the start of class, like they know every time when you start class, it's these five questions, these seven questions, these four questions, these three questions. It's always those ones. You can prepare them. I don't even care if you prepare them, but you know they're coming. And it's always going to start like that. I've done that sometimes. The other thing I've done for some students, it depends on the student. But sometimes I go like, all right, well, let's focus. Let's do a little bit of writing to start. Writing's a nice half step to speaking. Like, I'll have them write an answer. I've done that with some students. Like, if I really can't get them to... to speak. Like, I think actually this is a better way to put it. I try to identify like why are they scared to speak? Like, what's the problem? What's the block? And then I try to address it. So I have one student now I teach, and he's actually really fluent in the language I teach him in. I've heard him speak, and we've spoken sometimes. His grammar is near perfect, his pronunciation is near perfect. His vocabulary is quite expansive. Like, he's really quite good, actually. His listening is excellent. If he were just to have a bit more confidence, I think he would... I'm guessing, because I haven't heard him speak in an extended way, but I feel like he'd be like an upper intermediate, low advanced. I'm guessing. I'm not sure, but I've taught him for like a few months now. But I found out that I can't... I mean, I could force him, but he'd probably just stop paying for classes. Like, but he'd probably go away. But I found it for him. He had to and he's super smart, incredibly smart, like sharp as a tack. Is that a thing? Super sharp. And he had to understand every grammatical nuance inside and out. And he's the kind of guy who can. He will remember the rules. He will remember the exceptions. They will stick in his brain. He will be able to say that. Like, it's actually quite uncanny how his brain works. And he studies every... So I went through every grammatical nuance. And it took us a long time to get through everything. And I was like, I can't think of another grammar point to, like, teach you. And he would absorb it, like, in class. I was like, it was really hard to teach it, actually. Because I have to go look. I was like, I don't actually remember the difference between this and this in Spanish or whatever. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, so we had to do everything. Then he's like, okay, I got it. And he actually does get it, which is unusual. He still won't talk, though, because he still believes he can't form sentences. So then I have him do writing assignments. And I give him, like, almost like journaling prompts. And he writes. And every time, there's no errors in what he's written. He uses no translators. It's, like, perfect. It's, like, I was like, yeah, it's perfect. It's, like, really, it's perfect. I'm like, yep. There's nothing wrong. And now he's, like, I've told him, like, you probably could speak really fluently now already. But if you don't believe me yet, that's totally fine. Let's keep writing. Let's keep writing until you prove it to yourself. He's, like, okay. So he writes every week. Every week, he's, like, well, I guess I have no mistakes. Wow. It's pretty crazy. Maybe I can form sentences. So he's starting to, like, he's fine. It's taken like 6 months or so. It's months and months and months and months and months. And he really, I suspect he's very advanced. The way he writes, his pronunciation, his, if I talk to him in the language, he understands. Like, I think he's actually quite advanced, but he won't talk until he has perfect, like, a full grammatical understanding, which he now, I actually think he does. He writes perfectly, no, like, fast too. Not like he sits there, thinks forever. He can just type it too. In class, if he wanted. And you're like, actually, I should get him to do that now. I should get him to do that more often, actually. So he can see how quickly he types. Like, hey, can you just type? Like, type what you did today. Don't say it, just type it to me. I bet you he can do it. I bet you he could.
Isn't it quite interesting how many things related to language learning and everything, they're pure psychology, and it's kind of like the ability to speak. As you were describing this person, I was like, that's my perfect student. That's the dream for me. Like, I really, it's honestly, I'm upset. Actually, I was going to bring this to the podcast. Now I remembered about it. I don't know how you guys operate, but I've discovered that probably the weird one is me. So I hope that at least one of you is the same to me, because otherwise it's going to be a jarring discovery of my life being wrong this whole time. But when I was doing cognitive linguistics and everything, there is a term that is called mental grammar. So basically, in your brain, you have essentially a system that gets updated when you learn new rules and stuff like that. And then in my case, for example, I don't know, I wanted to ask you what your brain looks like from the inside out when it comes to language. Because mine is, for example, I genuinely do remember all the rules of all the languages that I know. They're kind of, imagine a tree. And in the tree, there are all different branches of, like, all different grammar points. And when I learn a new one, for example, in a new language or something like that, it kind of updates itself. And then there's a new branch kind of going on. And when asked to analyze a sentence or something like this, I will be able to retrieve this systematic information, sort of. And then I would be able to, like, I speak automatically in the languages that I'm the most comfortable with. But if I'm not comfortable with a language, I can, in real time, kind of, like, see this grammatic information. I mean, I'm not looking at it because I'm talking to a person, hopefully. To know, not just roll my eyes into my brain, but... same with vocabulary. Vocabulary goes in classes. I can, like, more or less see how a new word for me becomes a part of a class, and therefore I'd never have to learn words per se. I don't learn vocabulary, for example, as an exercise myself, even though I'm a big fan of helping people to do that. I never actually sit down and learn new vocabulary. It just kind of gets recorded somewhere, and if I see it further, I will then notice that, oh, that's a new word that I've learned, like, last week or something like that. Oh, that's cool, that's a different context I can use it in, and stuff like that. And isn't it everyone like this, or am I just weird? Like, because I talked about it to another person who's learning like one of the students of mine, and she was like, no, that's not the case for me at all. That's not how I see life and language and stuff like that. And I'm like, oops, me and a bunch of scholars think that that exists.
Colton, and we know you create like a, I feel like you've got a star map in your head as well, don't you? Because you were saying a couple, I don't know, like a couple months ago, you were telling, maybe on a podcast, or maybe you're just telling me, I can't remember. But weren't you saying something like when you learned Spanish, you were trying to discover all the rules basically, and then you were trying to piece it together? Weren't you saying something like that?
Yeah, I think I don't even really know how my brain, I was trying to think of how my brain like worked when it learned Spanish. And I did learn the rules, but I don't think I really intensely learned them. I just...
Because you binge-watched Riverdale, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's how I learned Spanish. That's how I got to a conversational level.
Please
I
tell think, that story again, because Paola doesn't know that story. And it's a wonder, it's such a lovely story.
Yeah, I think it all started when I started lessons with Catherine. What was it, in 2021?
Oh, it was a while ago already, yeah. Mm-hmm.
22? And I think I took lessons with her from that fall up until a year later when my senior year started. And then I remember I would try to speak Spanish with her after, what was it, a couple months?
Mm-hmm.
But then
no, you were pretty much, you were trying all the time. And that's what's like, you genuinely were trying your best to form sentences, however perfect, but it doesn't really matter if they're good or not, but it's a process anyway.
But I remember I would kind of use English a lot for the first couple.
Not many classes, I reckon. I did teach you entirely, if I'm not mistaken, because my memory is not great, but I did teach you entirely in Spanish, didn't I? I
think yeah.
So. I didn't I teach you in English at all. I think so. I don't, I'm afraid I might be mistaken, but at least the goal was that.
Well, I think I was able to understand it way faster than I was able to speak it.
Hmm.
Like, I'd still be able to get sentences out, but I wouldn't be able to communicate my full thoughts. Like, I remember just feeling frustrated that I couldn't really get everything out. I'd just say something like simple and then just kind of go along. But then I remember once I got to that conversational level was about a week or so before my senior year started. I just started binge watching Riverdale, like all in Spanish. I don't even remember why or like what led up to it. I just decided to, and then got hooked. And then I think I watched it all in like a weekend was the thing too. But just a constant exposure, I guess you could say, to Spanish just kind of flipped a switch and I was able to speak.
You freaked me out one day, I remember, because you stopped having classes for a little while, but it wasn't like years. No, it was a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, something like that. It wasn't like a sustainable, and then you started speaking and you freaked me out completely. I was what do you, and you asked me, I remember that specifically, because those things stick to me. There was like, you asked me about subjunctive on that day. You were like, oh, we haven't seen each other for 2 months. He was like, oh, do you know what I want to learn? Subjuntivo? I was like, and in my brain, because I operate in like 1, 2, 3, 4, and I was like, well, we didn't finish all the rest of the things. How dare you? And then he started talking. I was like, no, it's fine. Subjuntivo, I'm sorry. I'm sold. It's okay. You can do it now. And I explained to you, I remember. I remember that lesson very vividly, actually, funny enough. Because it was so, I guess, surprising. I was like baffled by this whole thing. And I remember that you caught it really, really quickly when I explained it to you, like right away. And it's not usually like an easy concept necessarily. And I was super impressed by you. I'm going to lie, because it was like, what do you mean? And then you talked to me about Blackfoot and how would you say that, like, this concept in Blackfoot?
Oh, yeah, I remember. if you wanted to say something like quiero comer in Blackfoot, the translation would more be like quiero que yo come or something like that. I remember that class too.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's so cool though that I think another on the other topic that Paola mentioned, no, this comfort zone is very important. So your comfort zone became the serious, for example, Golden for you. Like you stepped out of the, and then you the kind of like dove into this comfort zone and it became your, you were able then to be confident enough in your language skills because they're like, oh, I watched the entire TV series. I've learned a bunch and now I can jump into it. So it's kind of like this creation. Maybe your student, Paola, can have something similar and will find something similar. But yet again, it's very personal, no? Like, you have to know them well enough.
Yes. I think that answering the question about the tree and the grammar, I would say
that's what we're talking about.
Sorry, I really like to track that. So
we need you every week, Paola, because
honestly,
last time we I think Catherine asked if we'd rather have a one no an eye no what was it no eye an eyeball or an eye patch, and she asked it. And then we answered a different question. And like an hour later, we're like, I think Colton's like, hey, we didn't talk about the eyes. Oh, yeah, the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, Paola, bring us back.
That's funny. sorry. So, yeah, trees. I tend to do that a lot with like my normal conversations. So I think that for me, I don't have a tree. I don't have a mind tree. But I would say that I always think about grammar stuff because I'm aware of it. I don't know if that makes sense. So, for example, I haven't learned a language by completely immersing myself into it or by input. So, for example, English, I have been studying since I was like a teenage girl and everything. So, like, you know, I think the most popular method so far is the grammar one, even though it's not that effective. Like, it's always the one that we are, like, always, what is it?
Well, it's easy to teach. That's the answer.
It's yeah, it's easier. Yeah. So, I think that I'm always aware. Okay. So, I'm always aware of it because of that. And also with Chinese, I would say that because I have learned the rules and everything, I have like this mindset, like, okay, I cannot put this one here because it has to go there and those kind of things. But I think that, for example, Spanish, now that I'm teaching it, it's really different. Like when my students ask me questions like, oh, it could be this way, and I have to think about it, like I can say it, but I wouldn't be able to explain like really deeply if I don't know like the words are. I have to like first think about it and then like, oh yeah, you know that it can be this way, but it has to be like that. And it's like, I think that it depends how you learn the language. I think I'm not really sure.
Probably. Or it is so relatable for the native tongues and stuff like that. I always complain about how teaching Russian is my least favorite thing to do. Honestly, not because I hate the language or anything like that. I don't. But it's the same thing. I do have my mental grammar in Russian too, but it's the grammar of the native speaker. I do know Russian grammar quite well because it's taught quite well. Also, back at home, it's like very focused on the structure of sentences, the syntax and stuff like that. But you never learn it from scratch. You learn it post factum. Like, you know how the language works, and then you can dissect it and you can put everything into boxes and stuff like that. So Russian for me, it's like post factum. And anytime a student asks me a question in Russian when I teach it, man, I have no idea ever about anything at all. It's so horrible. They ask me questions that are really intelligent and they're super, they make sense. I would have asked that myself if I was learning the language. But in English or Spanish, I can always anticipate all the questions. Well, okay, all the questions. But I can anticipate, let's say, 70, if not 75-80% of the questions that people may have, because I've struggled with them myself, because I know exactly how it works, because I have much more experience teaching English and Spanish than I do Russian. But then I have no, anytime I enter the Russian class, I have no idea what they're going to ask. I have no idea. And they ask me stuff and I'm just sitting there like, I don't know, honestly. And it makes sense. They're like, oh, for example, why is it like this and not like that? And it's a case. Why is it case number one and not the case number two? And I sit there, and I look at them, and I understand that their option logically works much better. Like, it makes much more sense. And then I'll just have to be an idiot and say something like, I guess, just
that's
like that.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. Oh, sorry. Why do you know this answer? Well, because I have a native speaker and I can't grow up with it. I have no idea, honestly. Your option is much better. Let's have a petition to the dictionary to change it, because like yours makes more sense logically. But unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff to do that doesn't. And also, Paula, is it easier for you to kind of learn Spanish grammar than through English, because there are many similarities?
Yes, I would say so. But like, sometimes I just think like, why is Spanish just like that? Like, when, for example, subjunctive is so, like, you don't even have to think about the subjunctive mm-hmm. word in English because it exists, but you don't really have to care about it, I guess. At least I wasn't taught that when learning English. So now that I'm teaching Spanish, it's like, this doesn't make sense. At least like from the English perspective. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm always comparing, like, or for example, with Chinese, I will always like try to compare or Chinese with Korean or like some. I'm always trying to learn languages, but like I never get to it. But the thing is that, for example, German with English, like, mm-hmm. I really like to compare it. But there's also a similarity between German and Spanish, and like I really like grammar. I love grammar. So it's not really convenient for many languages, I would say. But
it is. We are here and we're proof of that. Whoever hates grammar, there are at least two people who learn languages this way. We exist. Grammar pride.
Even if you met, I don't know if you met Ruth ever, but Ruth also, did you meet Ruth ever? Probably not. Ruth teaches Latin and Biblical Hebrew. It's like wild. And she also loves grammar. And she speaks like six languages. Six or seven, yeah, or something. And like she will not speak until she gets a good hand on the grammar. Then she goes and does pronunciation.
Oh, that's for me is basic as well. Because like grammar versus pronunciation, for example, I would say me personally, if I have to choose for myself, I prefer to learn the workings of the language and the carcass of it and how the sentences are structured, stuff like that. And then I know that I will catch pronunciation once I actually actively speak it and start listening to people, and I'll then mimic them. So at first, it doesn't really matter if I have an accent or not. For me, yet again, there are people who are different, and that's totally all right. But I don't know why people hate grammar so much. They should not be shaming in being... At the end of the day, it's the same as, for example, those people who really, really love math. And that's not shamed. Like, who really, really love to learn different sequences and different kind of like equations and stuff like that, and the beauty of math. And I could relate to that. I've never done it, obviously, because I have no idea. But I could see why. Mm. So people should also accept that we can be grammar nerds. That's fine.
Yeah, you're not a grammar nerd. You're a grammar Nazi. That's the term.
Yeah.
Grammar Nazi, not grammar. That, yeah.
But not in people. I don't mind people making mistakes as much as, like, I don't care for people. Because every single mistake that everybody makes can be explained by something. It's either lack of focus, which I can relate to, because, come on. And then, or interference. And that means that their grammar in their brain works this way. So they're correct. Everybody is correct all the time at all times. Like, I'm not Nazi in a sense that, like, oh, if you speak in a grammatically incorrect manner, then you should shut up and never speak again. No, quite the opposite. Try it. But the beauty of dissecting little things of the grammar and stuff like you know, people get interest in, I don't know, anatomy and stuff and organs and so on.
Grammar is like the organ of language, like all the different exactly. organs, like, ooh, look at this subjunctive lung, ooh, let me like
exactly.
cut it open. And how does the heart work? What would be the heart if subjunctive is the lung? No, it's not even lung. Subjunctive is like some artery that's like not important.
No, it should be some, what is it?
Gallbladder? Pancreas?
Gallbladder. This one, gallbladder, yeah.
I feel like it's a pancreas, because if you take it out, nothing really happens.
Yeah, no, it's the same.
I think it's like the pancreas.
Yeah.
What would the heart be? What would be the heart? If you have to like actually, what is the heart of a language? Is there a grammar point? Is it the pronunciation? Is it?
Probably conditionals. No, conditionals could be. Because it's kind of what your heart desires. No, I wish I was and stuff like that.
Oh, that's not how I thought of it. Okay.
Oh, I see. Like
we all had a different because Paola said vocabulary. You said we all had completely different.
All around the place.
Having a field day.
Now that you're talking about, like, I think that I watched a video about, I don't know, I think that the name of this YouTube channel is Kurzgesagt, I think. I don't know if you have watched the videos of that channel, but I watched one that they compared the language with a cell. Is it a cell or a human body? I don't remember. But it's really interesting, and I love that video because like it talks not only about grammar, but you know, vocabulary, pronunciation, like, and all compared to one organism. I don't remember which one, but oh, beautiful, at least for me.
Yeah, all the little organoids and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. And yet again, everybody's so different when it comes to what they prioritize when learning a language. Like, for example, I don't think, for example, people from Slavic origin, and shout out to all the people of Slavic origin who are listening, we do, and I hope nobody's offended, but we do tend to work well with the grammar-focused education because things need to make sense to us. I did mention it in one of the podcasts and everything. And anytime, well, I do have a couple of students of mine who are not from the school, but they are mostly maybe friends of friends or something like that. So they are from Slavic origin. I remember talking about it to them as well after one of our podcasts, and they all agreed with me. It's kind of like, yeah, well, it kind of makes sense to us to learn languages this way because, well, we're all members of the immigrant community, so to speak. And for us to operate in a country that speaks a foreign language, we need to be able to read, to listen, to do everything at the same time. We need to understand how things work. It's kind of like a vital sort of knowledge. And that's why grammar learning does work really, really well on people from Slavic origin. And I must say, I used to have a student who was from Japanese origin. And I think, I'm not saying, just one person I met. I haven't met all the people. I'm not saying for all the culture, not at all. That's just one.
You haven't met the entire country. You haven't met the entire country of Japan.
I just hope nobody's offended because it's kind of like, what if everybody's like, no, that's not like that. I just met a weird person. But well, the thing is, it was really easy for me to have a structured, organized, and very grammar focused lesson with her. And she did become, I believe, a little bit more fluent as the time passed because she needed to know everything sort of like consistently, stuff like that. And it made her speak easier as well. So not that, but it's just, maybe it's not for everyone, this method, but it is for quite a few people, hopefully. Or I just happen to meet weird people.
Speaking of Japan, you just reminded me of something. So there's someone that Colton and I know. His name is, oh no, I forgot his name. Oh, Colton, what's his name?
Blaze,
thank you. I was like, I was going to say Brandon. I was like, oh, Brandon. I haven't talked to Blaze in a long time. So Blaze also speaks Blackfoot. And a lot of Japanese people apparently are interested in learning Blackfoot. So Japanese people would come as exchange students and they'd all get fascinated by the Blackfoot language and want to learn it. And so he used to teach Blackfoot to all these Japanese, like all the time. Like apparently it was all the time Japanese people would want to learn Blackfoot. And it made me, I guess Colton and I had this conversation last week in the podcast about Colton starting like a basically like a TV show or an app or something where it's like, where in the world is Colton? And Colton kind of travels around. And like the only clue to find him is like he taught if they speak Blackfoot. So you go to like very remote places, he teaches them. And if you walk in, you got to like walk into different restaurants and like speak in Blackfoot. And if you're in like Japan, from a remote kind of village, and they're speaking Blackfoot to you, it's like, oh, Colton was here. that was our conversation last week. I forgot my train of thought. The train of thought was Japanese people like to learn Blackfoot. I forget now. That's that. There we go. Sorry. There's a point to all that. Now I forget what.
There was a point.
There was a point, and I got lost, and I don't know what it was anymore.
Have you ever tried this feature on Zoom, the paid Zoom, the one that artificial intelligence tries to summarize whatever you've spoken about?
Oh, I've been really scared to click that button.
I did try it with a student of mine that we did conversation practice, and it's so funny because the robot hates us so much. It's like, okay, more inconsistent conversation, topic unknown. Yeah, roasts us actually.
You humans.
Yeah, like what are you talking about? I can't put a title because it does a summary with titles. I'm sure if you wanted to make a summary of this podcast, the robot would hate us as well. It was like inconsistent, no topic, no nothing, horrible, horrible.
My favorite thing about this podcast, out of everything, the number one thing that brings you the most amount of joy is how Catherine says robot. And you always, every week you say the word. And then every time, because you say Robert, the Robert wants you to. And I'm like, every time I'm like, who's Robert? Oh, the robot. Oh, who's Robert? The robot.
I will not change. Like, I don't care. See, this is how much I care for my pronunciation. I will, that's how we say it now.
Robert?
I think people should, yeah, that's how we say it now. That's official. I don't care. I can't.
I want a t-shirt that says like a robot with like a speech bubble. It's like, hi, my name's Robert. It was like a robot.
Like, I don't know. I don't know how, why can't I say it, to be honest? But there are some things that my speech apparently just can't do. And I know in theory how it's supposed to be, but in practice, it's Robert now. I don't care.
That happens a lot.
Colton, what do you have to say? I always would love to like dissect your mind. I feel like your thoughts are so unique. They're so interesting, the way your brain works.
The way my room looks or the way my mind?
I mean, both actually, for that matter.
What's the difference, Colton?
Your room and your brain both are pretty interesting all the time. But I mean, yeah, sure, both.
No, right now my no thought. His head is empty. We are. Oh, we did get out for spring break, so I'm officially done with classes for the break. So I'm excited for that. The downside is I'm just like really tired from like all of the midterm exams and whatnot.
Oh no.
Papers. Like we had to read the Odyssey this week.
Oh wow.
So that's what unfortunately when class starts to like pick up, all of my interesting thoughts kind of like just disappear because I have to start like focusing them on math and science and what I'm gonna write about. It's like my entire brain is geared towards the Odyssey today.
Do you find yourself randomly creating sentences in the same cadence? Because I remember when I was reading Odyssey and Iliad, I then would amuse myself with like creating, you know how it sounds. Well, I've never read it obviously in English, but in Russian they tried to recreate the cadence of the original, and it's very peculiar. And
yeah,
I would just like speak like that to myself in my brain for days on end. Because you should try. I think that's an activity that you should partake in.
So, what hobbies do you have? I like to try.
I like to mimic the cadence of the Odyssey.
It's a fun, especially if it's on a completely unrelated topic. Because I remember it was kind of a meme among my fellow classmates, who would just like talk like that and invent the weirdest sentences about everything and nothing.
You guys follow
kind of stuck.
Sorry, go ahead, Colton.
Oh, what were you gonna say?
No, this is entirely. It's entirely different. Fine, go. Yeah. Mine was also entirely different. So, go.
Okay. So in class, we were talking. We like had this half hour argument about what was more important, body language or like verbal communication. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Everybody just froze.
I was waiting for someone else to start speaking.
For context, the reading that we were talking about was like aliens came to Earth and they had to find out ways to communicate with them. So in a situation where you cannot understand the other person, what do you think would be more important? Body language or like being able to verbally?
Has to start with body language, doesn't it? Because didn't you, I think I heard somewhere that children can learn, like really little babies can learn sign language before they can speak, because they kind of perceive body language easier. So by that logic, I think if we had to talk to an alien, we could at least try to express something with our bodies, no? And to see if they have any sort of tentacles or whatever that have a similar.
I was
going
to say, depends on the alien species, though. Depends on the alien species. Like, what if a mouth showed up? Like a floating mouth that, like, made noises.
You would notice, no? Micro expressions and stuff like that. Because on micro, I don't know.
On lips? Should I, like, bring my lips close to the camera and see a micro? it's a pair of lips floating in the air.
No, but you can. I mean,
oh yeah.
It would be more like phonetics and phonology, like the mouth has different, you know, the articulators, so the position and how it is done. Yeah,
but I don't know. Haven't you ever tried to like read animals? So because you have no idea. They do have like micro things that you can kind of figure out whether they are happy or not happy or stuff like that. So I think the animals I've dealt with were fairly like their eyes, their nose and stuff like that. But
was it Colton? Wait, one of you speaks cat, right? Right?
I mean, I do to the best of my capacity.
Catherine said you speak. Didn't you say you speak cat? You and your cats like have a language.
I mean, we do. Okay. It's as in. I think I overestimate my abilities sometimes, but she definitely, as in, she understands things, and I understand how she feels as well by the micro expressions. But also because we have the same conversation every day, pretty much. Because it's like in the morning, I'm trying to convince, like, it's literally, it can be either food, water, and it's different. And then I'm upset about something and I just want to be. But well, lately she's much more talkative for some reason. I don't know why. She lost a bunch of weight, like cat updates. she's lost a bunch of weight and now she's far more sassy. Like she can like physically move better. And she now feels like, okay, I own the place. I'm gonna yell and I'm gonna do whatever. So yeah. Cat communication needs to be updated due to the new advances in the cat's personality. Asrin, what do you have about the cat story? What's the cat story?
What cat story? Oh, my cat. Yeah, there's a cat. I mean, it's not really that exciting, but it's like a whole drama thing. There's a cat that, like, we don't know who it belongs to. I think it's my neighbor's, but I actually don't know. And he just sort of like wanders around and tries to get in people's homes. He sits at the doors and meows over and over and like stares at the door until someone lets him in, but no one lets him in. And it's like, it really bothers everyone. Like, he's quite bothersome. And it's also not good because we also have a bobcat in the area. And so people are scared that the bobcat's going to kill the cat. But so far it hasn't happened. But yeah, anyway, I just heard him meow. He meows really loudly. So he's like upstairs outside the front door. And I hear him as if he's right beside me. Like I can hear him going, meow, meow.
Man.
Yeah. Going to Colton's. What was your question again, Colton? If we met an alien species.
Oh yeah, what would be more important? Verbal communication or body?
I'm going to say it depends on the species. It depends on what they come out doing. If it comes out like, yeah, because all the rules are out now. Like alien species could be like maybe it's like in Ender's Game, the book. Maybe it's a virus. Like there's a virus it's a virus that's an alien species that's a sentient virus. It's sentient species, but it's a virus. So now it's neither. Now it's cellular communication. How do you communicate via science, basically? Like, how do you send signals with chemicals? And that's completely different. There's no verbal or body language. Or maybe it's like, maybe it's a big floating mouth. Then I would probably say, got it. And it's like making noises. Then you got to, like, you know, maybe react with noises, like mimic the noises, mirror the noises back and see what happens. And like mirror their vocal language. But if it's like a big, like, I don't know, like a tentacle monster, I mean, I don't know, maybe you gotta like watch the tentacles. Like, is there gonna like stab me or kill me or like what's its demeanor? But then demeanor could be different. Like, isn't it like gorillas? If you smile at them, it's not good. They think you're gonna attack. Is it gorillas or chimps? Or there's some type of orangutan where if you smile at it, I think it's taken as an act of aggression. Because they don't smile with their teeth. The primate that does that. It's like even body language, you gotta be careful because it might be looking all aggressive, but it's not aggressive in that alien culture. It's just aggressive in our culture. But I would totally...
Even happens in human cultures as well. Like, depending on what country you are at, you can do a gesture that means one thing and then completely dramatically the other in the other country and can lead to dire consequences.
What do you think about that, body language or vocal language?
I would say that it's the same as you. Like, it depends on the form of you. and also that it would take like so much time, like, to get to know how their communication works, because we can analyze it, but it would be like, I think that it would have to pass a lot of time in order for us to understand. So I'm just thinking about how much.
Yeah. And also willingness, no? Because if both parties are willing to communicate, it doesn't matter if it's an alien or human being or a cat, like, if both parties are willing to communicate, that's going to be good. But it's the same as, for example, when people have a thick accent, it's not only on them to learn pronunciation, I believe, but also on the people who are listening to them. For example, if it's a person with a very thick accent who has excellent language skills otherwise, I do believe that people who listen to them do need to make a little bit of effort to understand them too. Like, it's not their fault per se that they have an accent or something like that. So it's like, the both parties have to sort of come into agreement and want to listen and understand to whatever the person wants to say, or the alien.
Yeah.
There's a movie. I don't remember the name of it.
Arrival.
That one. My father.
The book is so much better. Oh my god. The book has a completely it's my ranting moment as well, but like the book has a completely different focus than the film. It's a very short book. I recommend you guys read it because it's funny enough. I don't remember the details, but I remember in comparison the whole beauty of the linguistic explanation of things in the book is much more interesting than it is in the film. Like, you understand what's happening much better through the book. It's quite short, actually. It's possible to read it in no time.
Okay. Actually, that makes me think of... it is related. It's a little bit unrelated, but it's somewhat related. When it comes to... okay, so here's the story. There's a class I teach, private class. His friends also take lessons, but in a group class. So he has his friends take classes in a group. He takes lessons privately because he's not the same level as his friends. But their classes are back to back, and they're in person, so they see each other at the and they kind of like say hi and chit chat, you know, when their classes end. His friends are more advanced. He's like super beginner, like really, really beginner. But here's the thing. The more advanced, not super advanced, but the more advanced class, maybe they're like upper beginner or something like that. And actually, even maybe even low intermediate, really. But upper beginner, maybe low intermediate. When they speak, they sound like language learners. Like you wouldn't, the emotion that would come up in you when you talk to them is not, oh, this is someone that's comfortable like a native speaker. You know, some people you talk to them, they might have an accent, but you still feel perfectly natural talking as you like to talk to them. The beginner student's barely been learning Spanish for that long. He's not been learning very long. When he talks, the knee-jerk reaction you get will often be like, oh, this guy just knows, he just gets it. Like, I can just talk to this guy. And he can't have a conversation like at all. He really can't. And there's examples of this. Like, there's one time he walked in on his friends, like in the friends class. And he just walked in and goes, I think he said, ya se acabó. Like the class is over. And I think it was a couple minutes late. And he's pretending to be angry. But his body language, the vocal tonality, because he has an accent. It's not like perfect pronunciation. But the body language, the vocal tonality, everything just was perfect. And I was like, what? Like, I remember the feeling I felt was like a native speaker walking in and telling everyone in a joking fashion, hey, the class is over now, like, and it was just, and there's something about that. He's way more beginner, but there's something about the way he communicates, the way he carries himself, the not definitely not his pronunciation, because he has an accent. You know he's not a native speaker. Something about it, you know? And it gets me thinking, it makes me think of Colton's question, because, like, is that a body language thing? Is it a vocal tonality? Is it maybe both? Is it something about him, even though he's been learning for not long at all and he can't even carry a conversation, something about him that just gives that feeling of, oh, this guy just gets it. Oh, this guy's just, yeah, he just speaks, but he doesn't.
I think you need to embody the whole thing, isn't it? It's kind of like a character that one can develop in order for to be perceived as the speaker of that language.
Yeah,
so like it's
speaker,
kind of like
that's a good one. Like a speaker. Yeah, definitely not native, but a speaker for sure. He comes across someone who speaks it.
Because even it's a little bit like actors, I guess. Who I've been noticing that lately when I was watching a lot of films, like for example, American, Australian, or somebody from the other country accent, like a person who plays an English character, and you don't notice it at all, and then you. As you do, Google them, and it's like, oh, they're actually, how are they Australian? Like, how is that even a thing? Because they like the character needs this accent, so they embody the whole Englishness, I guess. And some do it better, some do it worse. And obviously, vice versa was American or other things. And I think some people just have this capacity of like creating a character some, it's the same with acting, I guess. Somebody is a better actor, somebody's a little bit of, like, nobody ever, like, not that everybody has to be a good actor to speak language well, but those who have this skill, and I think it's kind of a little bit innate to create characters, they will have it a little bit easier, I guess.
What do you guys think, Bolton and Paola?
To say it. Okay.
We couldn't hear you, Paola. I don't know if you said something.
Oh, here. Yeah, I said, like, hold on, can go first.
On whether it was body language or vocal, that kind of,
yeah, like, why did some people, because some people have a sense that they, like, when you speak Spanish, Colton, but you have excellent pronunciation, though, you have really good pronunciation, and you, like, but that's I think that might be it, but, like, you, I think for Colton, I don't know if Catherine, what you think, but Colton, when he speaks Spanish, like, I think he has very good pronunciation, and he uses very natural, he uses some natural.
It's not only pronunciation per se. I was going to say cadence. Yeah, it's,
yeah, but cadence. I think, yeah,
but see, I think those things are a little bit acquired by imitation as well. Because he sounds like somebody you would recognize, I guess. No, or something like that. Colton, sorry, we're just talking about you.
Well, for my birthday.
Yeah. No, but kind of. You believe him because it's a recognizable pattern of speech that also of a specific cadence, isn't it? So it makes
and
sense.
He, and he picks up, I think, too, like, I think that's, oh, yeah, I think that's what it is, too, that you sort of expect a beginner to speak a certain way, this kind of an unconscious idea of how they would speak, but then they'll use words or phrases or an act, there's something about it. Yeah, I think that's what it is, now that I'm thinking it through. There's something in this particular student's case. It's not his pronunciation. It's not his cadence. But it's the word choice he uses. His word choice is not what beginners use because of how he learns. He has a very particular way of learning where he ends up using stuff that might be very advanced, but advanced, quote unquote, or it sounds very natural because of the word choice. Like Colton has like good cadence and pronunciation, but also word choice too. Like I remember when I talked to Colton once, he didn't say para que, he would say pa que, which is not something that a learner would typically do. And like it stood out, and he did a number of things. You did it with Colton, like a few things you did that was like, oh, it sounds super natural because you chose that word with that cadence, with that pronunciation. And even small things like your vowels, like Colton, you do a good job of blending your vowels, which learners don't do because the Spanish vowels get blended. So it's like, it's not like creo. I mean, you could say creo que. That's perfectly fine, but it's usually more creo que, like creo, it's shorter. Like it's creo que, blah, 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 right? But like Colton does that quite well, where his vowels get pronounced well, but also blended correctly, I've noticed.
But I think it's the length, Colton. Didn't we talk about it? Didn't we talk about it 1,000 years ago when we had the last lesson? That you can distinguish between the different lengths of the vowels, wasn't it? Or am I imagining things?
I thought that's something he would say.
Yeah, it sounds like something I would say. I think I was talking about that relation to block for like the vowel length.
Didn't we? No?
Sometimes. But in Spanish,
vowel length. Because we were talking, because I remember that conversation. You were saying that we were talking about Blackfoot cadence. We're talking about the cadence, how it's like there's a slowness to the way you pronounce. There's a different rhythm to it for sure. Like the one when it's spoken and way different from Spanish. Absolutely way different. I think that's what we were talking about. I remember that conversation. I think there was the time when I brought up, I asked Colton, I think, if indigenous languages shared phonetic similarities or melodic similarities. I think we were talking about that. We're talking about, I forget why I brought it up, but I remember hearing I remember, I think I asked you guys, because when I hear an indigenous language, I always know it's indigenous language. But not always, but often it's like, that is an indigenous
language. Oh, yeah, I remember it now.
And like, I'll just be like, that has to be indigenous. And I don't know why I think that. And it'll be like, yeah, it is. I don't know which one it is, but that must be an indigenous language. And I don't know why that is. And I think that's what we were talking about that. And then Colton brought up the whole vowel length and vowel sounds and all that. I think it was that day.
Probably, yeah. That's so funny when it's just like nothing at all.
I thought that Colton was going to talk.
Me too.
Everybody's a waiting. I'm sure the only reason of success of this podcast is Colton, I guess. It's kind of like...
Back to Spat. Sorry, still thinking back to Spat. It is interesting. I think part of the reason is because I never really studied it step by step. I kind of just skipped around a lot. And during the time, I also just absorbed a lot. And so I think a lot of the things, like the example you mentioned with Bareke versus Bake, I think just by listening to other people talk, and then also by what other people say, they like, there would be some like tips, I think, online that I would just see and then just like immortalize in my mind. That's kind of how I learned the pronunciation of Portuguese, just by like, I think I saw a video one time that like just told
me how to pronounce about it. Yeah.
And so like a lot of those videos just kind of become ingrained in my mind, and then that's how you get like a lot of examples of like baque instead of parque or whatever other things I do in Spanish. And I think just a lot of absorbing it, kind of more so than learning it, is how I get that natural feeling. And it's kind of at the point now where I don't even really think when I speak, I kind of just speak. It's almost like a switch gets flipped in my brain, and then I kind of, everything kind of turns everything else on. My cadence just naturally changes. The way that I think about structuring a sentence changes. My accent changes.
We should do another Spanish podcast. We haven't done one in a while.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Paola can be part of it too, because she speaks Spanish as well.
I was just thinking... in even, obviously, maybe not for a podcast or something like that, but don't you guys sometimes, if you share like a bunch of languages with somebody, you just start to speak in both at some point, because you know you'll be understood. So you kind of like, when you can't express something in one of the languages that you're speaking in, you'll just throw in the next one because they all understand you anyway, and it switches and flips and stuff like that.
Now that I'm taking French, pretty soon we could be able to do that. Just have like three languages in one podcast.
Oh man.
How's your French coming? How's your French coming along? Siham said you're not a beginner. Like when she, like literally after your first class, she emailed me and she's like, she texted me. She's like, Azrin, he's not a complete beginner. And I was like, oh. Because she asked me before the class and I was like, oh yeah, I think he's a complete beginner. I actually don't even know, but she's like, oh, okay.
He's in the Riverdale. She's doing the Riverdale thing on her. I'm sure it's kind of like, this one time Colton decided to learn French, he has watched two TikTok videos and now he's completely fluent. That's it. Like,
you guys studied French for 2 years before I started Spanish. I actually did French for,
Oh no.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of my secrets. But anyway,
you have lots of secrets.
That's a discovery. Like, nobody knew that. Who would have thought?
Oh, yeah, but I studied it in, I think, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. I don't really know why I quit, but then I switched to Spanish after that. Oh, I did actually know like a lot of Spanish before I did my classes with Catherine. I think
Yeah, you
I
did that. I
took a
think I,
little bit.
yeah.
I took a little bit in middle school and then just picked up some here and there between then and then when I started classes with you.
Makes
So
sense.
yeah.
How's your Mandarin going, Paula? Oh no, that face says it all.
I'm not really a good student, even though I'm always telling my students like, oh, you should like do this, you should. I'm not a good student myself, but I'm trying, always learning, because what I love about Chinese is not like, I like the language, but what I love about Chinese is the characters. So I love understanding what is behind them, I would say. So for me, in order to remind, instead of like doing the repetition thing, like writing a character like once and then again and over again and again, I prefer to dissect it, as Catherine says, and I see, oh, the radical is this one, and then like the component means that, and that's related to the meaning that is blah blah blah, right? So I've been trying to like get out of my comfort zone and I've been trying to like watch cartoons. And I think that the most difficult for me is to like feel comfortable listening to it and also like saying things. I think that my grammar is not that bad. I have like a certain set of words, but the thing is that my speech pace is really like low, I would say. Like I have the thing like about the grammar. Right, for it's like something that my teacher is always reminding me, like for example, the hospital is far away from the park or something like that. And I would try like if there is a word missing, I would be like stuck, like, oh no, what was the word? Right. So because of that and also because I don't have like I think that topics like I because my teacher is really like grammar oriented, like but really heavy grammar oriented. Like we don't try to have a conversation on anything else. Like it's just purely like a word and a sentence, right? So like we don't have like any conversations. Like I think that the most that we have done is like, 你好吗? Oh. Well, or something like that, and it's like that's it. But besides that, like conversation wise, I'm like it's really poor.
Are you able to converse? Or you don't know, maybe you haven't tried.
I think that I would be really slow. Like I would be trying, like just like my students in Spanish, I would be like, for example, like an example for me. From my Spanish students would be like, hoy fui a comer, you know, like I think that I would be
Okay,
that kind.
like really slow.
I mean, I know like for sure, like you know, the common verbs, the common words that are like used, like obviously that would be like right, like that would come right out of my mouth. But I would, like, for example, things that I haven't think, like, for example, I learned, yeah, I know that because I think that because of the method that my teacher has been using, I haven't been like, and also it's my fault for not exposing myself to it. For example, I learned recently the word shufu, that is comfortable, and I was like, okay, in what situation would I say this, right? Like, is the bed comfortable? Is like, am I comfortable? You know, and I started like thinking like, can I use it even in a conversation? So I started just like thinking, is this really necessary? So those kind of things, and I think that that's keeping me like from trying at least. But I'm always like trying to make her like structure phrases. But yeah, it's really low pace, really low pace. But at least trying, right? Like one of the things that I was watching on YouTube today, there's a man, I don't remember his name, but he speaks 20 languages. And
30?
20, 20.
Oh, still a lot, yeah.
By the age of like, I think, I don't know, like 50, he would speak like nine or something like that. And the most like the recent languages that he has been learning are like the ones that he has learned just from 10 years ago, I think, and I'm like really impressed. So what he says is that something, obviously, like I read on the comments, and so he said something like, we need to be comfortable and also be willing to learn the language, because if not, it's not going to work, right? Like how you feel towards the language is really important. So and someone said it on the comments like, oh yeah, like saying it out loud even like makes it look dumb, right? Because like it's something that we should know. But yeah, I think that because I'm not really comfortable with it, I think it makes me like get stuck. I don't know, being stuck.
Basically comes back to your own question at the beginning of the podcast, isn't it? Basically, how can you save
Please.
yourself? And can
Come
how can
came
you
full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a good
That's
place to
true.
finish then. So I'll stop the recording. Thanks for listening, everyone that did. And we'll see you next time.